Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
If you want more than headlines this Bears season, listen to the Take the North podcast. I'm Mark Rohde, joined by Dan Wiederer. We bring you honest, unfiltered Bears talk three times a week, and we're not afraid to be critical when it's deserved or certainly give credit when it is earned. With insider access and perspective that brings you inside the Bears locker room, Take the North is your home for Bears conversation that keeps it real. Listen to and follow Take the North wherever you get your pods.
Grand Biggs.
Biggs time.
Biggs.
With Mully and Haw.
Biggs time.
The Biggs Report with Brad Biggs.
Biggs time.
Biggsy.
His name is Brad Biggs.
Brad Biggs talks football with you.
Mully and Haw, Chicago Sports Radio 670. The Score. He is the football man of the Chicago Tribune, a longtime contributor to the station and a valued friend. Brad Biggs joins us now on the Aturo Tire Hotline. Aturo, your hometown tire, aturo.com. Biggs A.
Morning, Brad.
Morning, boys. What's going on?
Well, there's no style points given out, so the Bears a big winner on Sunday. Not exactly the greatest victory we've ever seen, but they got it done at the end. They took advantage of the shank punt of the quarterback going out and of Russell Wilson coming in, and they managed to rally and win. And it was a very necessary, you might argue, pivotal type of victory when you look at getting to 6-3 with division play beginning very soon.
Yeah, their style points don't matter when they're stacking wins. And as long as it's been since we've seen the Bears have the capacity to stack wins around here, it's a little refreshing to see them find a way to get another game wrapped up in the fourth quarter by a variety of means. It's not a very good New York Giants team. But Jackson Dart looks like he's got a bright future in the league, and the Bears, able to move forward and continue to try to correct and fix some of these things. A process that's a lot smoother and easier when you're coming off a victory.
Brad, I thought that Caleb Williams was outstanding with his legs more than his arm, but both were effective. The running aspect is something that. Relatively new. His escapability seems to have empowered him to feel like he can run the ball down the field and get to the corner when maybe before he didn't try it as often. The 29-yard career long run, that was as impressive because the hit he took at the end. But the 17-yarder that he scored on a touchdown was a naked bootleg. What effect will that have on the offense when he's able to run as well as he is?
Well, I think you're seeing first downs in critical situations at the end of games. He had, back up to Cincinnati a week ago, they've got 3rd and 10 on their own 28-yard line, trailing with a minute to go, less than a minute against Cincinnati, and he had a 14-yard run. Theo Benedett got pressured. Pocket was falling apart, and so he took off and got 14 yards. The very next play is a touchdown pass to Colston Loveland. Game over. So you see when these moments pop up, these big runs, and it's kind of coming late in games. I thought there was a stretch earlier in the season where he was turning down those opportunities. Right, and he wasn't running, and one of the consequences of that is I think that the Bears were leaving yardage, drives, points, all that on the field. And so before the Baltimore game, I think probably there was a conscious decision of, hey, you know, if there's an opportunity to run, you take it. And he had a 22-yard run at Baltimore. That was really about it. But big run in the Bengals game. A lot of big runs yesterday. And that was coming off of, you know, go back to the Dallas game, and Eberflus knew what he was doing to try to pin him in the pocket, but 12 yards on 5 carries. They go out to Vegas, 13 yards on 8 carries. And then he had consecutive games against the Commanders and Saints where it was 4 carries in each game for minus 2 yards. Like, that's not representative or indicative of the kind of athlete Caleb Williams is. They need to find the sweet spot. And while the passing game wasn't great yesterday, he was certainly betrayed by a handful of his wide receivers with those dropped passes, which is they dropped passes replaced penalties as the problem for the offense at Hollis Hall.
This segment with Brad Biggs is sponsored by Est Wing Professional Tools, made in the USA for over 100 years, estwing.com. It was interesting because Ben Johnson made a point in the postgame of saying that he felt it was an anomaly, the number of drop passes, that he didn't see that during the week, and they really haven't suffered through that in that fashion this year. But they clearly were playing in the cold for the first time. It was different circumstances. The ball weighs a ton. It feels like you're catching a rock. I get all of that stuff, but you know, then you see the Giants, and you got a guy in Darius Slay making a left-handed one-handed catch. I mean, you just need to grip the ball better, grab the ball better, catch the damn ball better. I don't think that's any sort of exaggeration. Just far too many, including maybe a couple of touchdowns. And oh, by the way, it doesn't count as a drop pass, but what about Nation Wright? Didn't he drop a pass in the end zone himself?
Well, I mean, that was broken up.
I know.
You're right. I mean, he had it. The guy was able to get it out. Drop passes haven't been a big issue for this offense this season. I'm sure there's some people that would say, you got to be kidding me. But if you look at Pro Football Reference entering week 9, I think the Bears were tied for 8th best in the league with a drop pass rate of 3%, 3.0. That's going to go up based on what happened yesterday. But it hasn't been a big problem. Have there been catchable passes that Bears targets for Caleb have not hauled in prior to yesterday? Absolutely. There's a big difference between a catchable pass and a straight up drop. If a wide receiver is having to dive for a ball, it's kind of difficult to assign him a drop on that. Would the wide receiver coach want to see the play made? Absolutely. A little bit of a different animal. If a guy's going full speed in one direction with the defender on him and the ball's on the wrong hip, that's a very difficult catch to make. Should it be made? Yes. Is it a drop? I think that's where you have a gray area, but it was black and white yesterday. There were too many drop passes. Fortunately, after the Zacchaeus one in the end zone, which was brutal, two plays later, Kyle Manunga scores on an 8-yard run. So at least that one didn't cost him points.
So, Brad, Montez Sweat has 4 games in a row with a sack. Since you called him out, he's been producing. But I think it's just as interesting that you point out in 10 Thoughts this morning at ChicagoTribune.com, Tremaine Edmonds might be the player that has benefited the most from Dennis Allen. His arrival, his scheme, whatever the case may be, it seems like he's playing at a much higher level. Why do you think that is?
Yeah, you try to engage Tremaine on that topic, and he wants nothing to do with it. It's almost like I wonder if he thinks you're trying to bait him into, like, hey, let's pick on Matt Eberflus, which, you know, I have no interest in that. It's like, I just want to try to explain why he's more effective in this scheme. But you talk to some other teammates like Andrew Billings, the defensive tackle, he said, you know, these guys are going, and not just Edmonds, but all of them are going downhill more in this scheme. So they're coming toward the line of scrimmage. Like, they've had some injuries on defense, but Edmonds leads the Bears in tackles by 32, right? Now, if T.J. Edwards had been healthy all year, that certainly wouldn't be the case. But, I mean, that's just an enormous gap to have. And he's been impactful with the four interceptions, seven or eight pass deflections. You're seeing him come on the blitz more regularly. So it's just he's in a position now where I think his traits, his length, his speed, change of direction, all the things that were reasons that led the Bears to pay him $18 million a season are starting to pop and flash more regularly. Because based on the past 2 years, I think you could look at Edmonds and say, he's been an okay player. I don't know that he's an $18 million a year guy. I think that would have been fair. This year, to what he's put up to this point, I think you look at it and say, yeah, the Bears are getting a return on their investment this season in the Dennis Allen scheme.
Brad, you know, you mentioned T.J. Edwards, and obviously he had hand surgery, and he's going to miss some time. He still has the hamstring injury. How much time does he miss? When do you believe he'll be back? And how severe was the hand issue, or is it a minor surgery? Again, anything with me is major surgery. With him, it's probably minor.
Yeah, I was just going to say, because it's TJ's hand and not mine or yours, it's probably more on the minor side. I wish I knew if it was the recent hand surgery or the hamstring that was the leading factor for him not being on the field yesterday, or if it was somehow 50% of both. Guys can get those things casted up to play in a game. Now, sometimes right off of surgery, they're going to green light a guy to play, but he's going to need a little bit of time to let that thing kind of set. So I don't know, because things can be, they can put a brace on it, they can club it up, whatever. They're going to need him back out there against some of these better opponents. And that became a bit of an issue yesterday for them, guys, because initially in that game, the Giants were getting next to nothing from the running backs, right? Jackson Dart was getting a little bit of production. Then all of a sudden, Dart's running the ball, and lo and behold, Tyrone Tracy and Devin Singletary, no one's going to confuse them for future Pro Bowl players, are getting chunks on the ground. And the Bears had some real issues then, because I think – having to honor Dart with some of that keeper stuff put them in a spot where they had to then have some holes in the middle that the running backs were able to expose.
Brad, we didn't see much of Joe Tryon-Shuinka, maybe 22% of the snaps, I believe. You had a really good talk with him, though, and is another interesting item. He was dealing with a lot after being traded from Cleveland to the Bears. His fiance is pregnant, went back to Florida. He was... according to the way you described it, head was spinning a little bit as he drove from Cleveland to Lake Forest last week. What's realistic to expect from him moving forward, and what were your impressions of him in terms of talking to him for the first time?
Well, I can tell you this much. He's super excited to be a member of the Bears now. You're leaving a team that's really struggling. I mean, lost again yesterday to the Jets. So he moves up. He moves from the, outhouse to the. Well, he's approaching the penthouse anyway. When you talk about standings and where the teams are at in the division, so with an opportunity to play, the Browns were barely using him. So I think he's excited. You know what he can do. We're going to have to see. We saw Austin Booker start yesterday, and the Bears did okay defensively. Not great. They're going to need to be better against some of these other teams. So I had him for about 13 snaps. You know what? In a new wrinkle yesterday, these guys have been adjusting on the fly. They took Chris Williams, who's like a three-technique defensive tackle, and they played him at defensive end. He got about he got about 12, 13 snaps at that left end position, something he said he'd done previously, but only in like really big goal line type packages where the offense has got jumbo on the field. So he's playing a defensive end spot, and he said he was comfortable doing that. So with Joe Tryon, we're just going to have to, you know, see how he kind of fits into practice and what they create for him moving forward. But they absolutely had to have some depth, and he's happy to be here, even though he's juggling a lot. The fiance is due to give birth in about 6 weeks.
Brad, I'm sure you know all this, but the Bears, in terms of their yards per game ranking, from 2017, 30th, 21st, 29, 26, 24, 28, 20th in 2023, 32nd last year, they are now fourth in the NFL. I mean, this head coach is doing something right, very right, and the Bears are producing a ton of yards, and they're a different team than they've been. Unfortunately, yesterday anyway, the defense was struggling. It was interesting to hear him say that'll be kind of, I mean, he almost said it's kind of a week-to-week, who can play, who can't play type of thing.
Yeah, he's done, the impact's been enormous. And you look at the rankings right now and you say, my goodness, it's not your father's Bears team anymore. And welcome to the kind of the new age. And yet at the same time, they're just kind of figuring this out. And when I say they, I mean the coaches, the players, they're scratching the surface. Like, there are expectations for them to be more consistent, more powerful, more high-powered. Like, they're going to have an opportunity to get more of these young players going. Like, you know, Luther Burden, you see 50 yards from him 1 week. You don't see him for a week or two. Then he makes a big third down catch. Then he kind of goes, well, you know, it's going to just continue to come together for them, and they're only going to improve.
Great stuff, Brad.
You're the best, buddy.
Have a great day, guys.
You too.
That's our guy, Brad Biggs, football man of the Chicago Tribune.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
If you want more than headlines this Bears season, listen to the Take the North podcast. I'm Mark Rohde, joined by Dan Wiederer. We bring you honest, unfiltered Bears talk 3 times a week, and we're not afraid to be critical when it's deserved or certainly give credit when it is earned. With insider access and perspective that brings you inside the Bears locker room, Take the North is your home for Bears conversation that keeps it real. Listen to and follow Take the North wherever you get your pods.
We're talking to play-by-play man Kevin Harlan. You're the best when it comes to play-by-play of life.
We're sending Marshall Harris to D.C. to run on the field.
Come on, Marshall. Nah. Bring it home, baby. We're ready for you.
The Raheemy Harrison Grody Show. Middays 10 to 2 on 670 The Score. Third down and 4. Williams, pressure. Got away from Burns. Caleb Williams gets away from Thibodeau. First down, Chicago. Couple shots to drop him for a sack. Instead, he converts.
Yeah, just running away from first-round pick after first-round pick. That's a great example of nowhere to go with the ball, escape early pressure, and keep the drive alive.
This is Raheemy Harrison Grody on 670 The Score. That is courtesy of Fox Sports. And just, I think, a great call by the Fox crew yesterday. Joe Davis and the team, of course, we know that It's going to be quality when that group does the job. In the meantime, we are talking about the Bears 24-20 win over the Giants. We said yes earlier in our previous segment that we're trying to figure out who this team is. And I would like to point this out. As we know, we thought that it was going to be a field day for the Bears on the ground for a multitude of reasons. They did not run the ball enough. And after three quarters, I'm saying to myself, if they lose this game, part of it is absolutely on the head coach for just simply not doing that. Not running the ball when you knew the weather was terrible. I think I counted six drops. I think that was the one by PFF. And take the PFF grades with a grain of salt if you want. But they said that the six drops by receivers was the most in the NFL in any single game by a single team this year. That's significant. We all saw that. There were some drive killers. So you knew it was cold. You knew it was windy. Guys weren't catching the ball like you normally see. There's no better reason to run the ball than all of that, plus the fact that the Giants give up 150 yards a game going into this. Bears end up running for 171, but 68 of that was in the fourth quarter. So that tells you, Ben Johnson, unlike a lot of NFL head coaches who are offensive-minded and love to pass, especially when they're down, that's not what the Bears did. They decided to run the ball. And I think that's why not only did you see them do it successfully, but again, if everything is going to be built off of play action, that's why you're able to see Luther Burden on that big catch for play action. That's why that bootleg that Caleb Williams ran into the end zone, I think, was so effective. The Giants had to commit to the run because that's what the Bears started to do. And if the head coach says make the same things look different and different things look the same, there was no better reason to try to run the ball against a team you knew was going to be weak against it. B, get back to it even when you might not want to. You might want to keep passing. And then C, you're able to get those explosive plays that you wanted at the right times. That bootleg call was so smart. Like Cole Kmet's lined up at full back. He ends up running around the left side. You know, I joked in the postgame video I did that Cole had Caleb Williams' back by blocking his front, because that's essentially what happened. He led the way. Williams with a great run, as we all know. But just how they were able to run the ball when other coaches wouldn't do that. And I'm not just saying the dysfunctional ones. That's the difference in, I think, how they were able to win this game. Did Caleb Williams do everything right in the times that he was asked to in those last two drives? Yes. But was it made easier because your coach decided to do the thing that he may have not wanted to do? 100%.
See, I don't think he was doing something he didn't want to do. I think he just got away from what was a questionable game plan, is what I'll call it, early in the game. You said he should have run the ball more early. Yeah, I think we're all in agreement with that, because that's what the numbers bear out. I think he was trying to establish the threat of the pass, if you will, to make the run a little bit more effective. And I think because they were not able to keep up with Jackson Dart for the first three quarters of the game, that put them in a position where they were going to have to pass a little bit more. But I think once Russell Wilson came into the game, that's when Ben Johnson was like, all right, we're back in control now. And you wouldn't have known it from Russell Wilson's first drive, in which they ran up and down the field and then for some reason stalled out at the 1 yard line because Brian Daboll's not very smart, or he just lacks the cojones to do what needs to be done in that moment. But for Caleb Williams to use his legs in the way that he did, because yes, they did rush for 171 yards, but 63 of those yards were eight carries from Caleb Williams, not all by design. Some of that was just him just scrambling, finding some loose change in the couch. It's like when you reach in the couch, you can find a quarter or two back when we still used paper money. And it's like, oh, there's a whole dollar in here? Like a dollar bill? That's what Caleb Williams and company was doing. And I will say this.
It is $20 in the coat pocket season.
Oh, that has happened many times,
yeah,
right? When you reach
is.
In, like, I didn't even know I had these two $20 bills.
I found cat toys in my boots this morning.
That is not the same.
Yeah. Dave left you a present.
Dave does like to throw
that's
stuff in my shoes.
That's a better present than I would think about when I said the cat left me a present. So yes, that is a positive thing.
Oh, good call.
But for Caleb Williams, seriously, guys, he put the team on his back. And I asked you guys last week, is he that guy? And I was like, he's that guy. Here's more evidence towards that. He did it with his arm. He did it with his legs. He did it ultimately with his decision making and determining when to use his legs and not have to worry about either dirting the ball when he could just take off and get the yardage. I think Caleb Williams is the biggest reason they won this game. Ben Johnson, he talked about it. I make mistakes sometimes, but Caleb covers them up. I think this game, that fourth quarter, is a perfect example of that.
Yeah, and the numbers, the Caleb Williams, 20 of 36,
220, a TD, and no picks. Do any of us believe that he should not have had, that he would not have had at least 300 yards in this game? At least if you hadn't had key drops by Zacchaeus, Manungai, Odunze, Swift. Am I leaving anybody
even
out?
Even DJ in the end zone.
DJ in the end zone.
Like, that was the rarity. I was like, whoa, okay, this is a different day.
Yeah.
Tough day for DJ. Four targets, no catches.
Well, and he was injured.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Shoulder injury.
As usual, and he's immaculate. Always manages to return to game, so I give that dude a ton of credit for his toughness.
He's made of like galvanized rubber.
Yeah, he has no interest in coming out.
But here's the thing: Jackson Dart was well on his way to 300 yards.
That's true too.
Like, in the same climate and without, as we've said, Malik Nabers and Cam Scataboo.
I was a little worried when Russ Will. And I get you. You're right. Jackson Dart, as David Haw said today. Throwing bullseyes. God, I just love
over
David
the
Hall.
Middle, stepping up in the pockets.
Yeah.
Over 300 yards of total offense in just three quarters.
Yes, yes. Yet. When Russ Wilson came in, I was like, this could go, like, there could be that little bit left in the old quarterback that he could be good and come in here and do damage. He didn't, except for the 41-yard play to Devin Singletary, which ultimately led to a field goal, made it 20-10 Giants in the fourth quarter. And I think even at that point, I thought it was over. I did not think the Bears were going to win. I guess I need to, and maybe this is the game that did it, I need to believe that, yes, Caleb Williams is that mark. Don't worry, Caleb Williams has got this. No matter what you've seen throughout the game, Caleb Williams has got this, and he did have it again.
Well, and you can rely somewhat on the system for once.
Yes,
for once, we can say, not once as in this game, I mean this year, this coach, you can say, I have faith that he is going to figure out a way to do something functional that will win the game.
We're recovering.
How much did Greg Olsen talk about what he thought was a terrible decision to go ahead and kick the field goal by Brian Daboll after the penalty was declined? And that's the other part. Who turns down in this economy? Who turns down free yards in a game? I do not. If you give me free yards, 9 times out of 10, unless there's some overwhelming analytic that says don't do it, that's what I'm doing. And at that point, I thought to myself, he's asking the Bears to not only score a touchdown, which they weren't doing at will, but to also then get a stop, which they absolutely were not doing, and then to score again. And I'm like, well, I don't think that's happening. Wrong, 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 wrong. And that's what other coaches now have to understand, is that with Ben Johnson especially, if you're gonna make that kind of decision, strategy on the other side, the Bears side, might actually win. And it did yesterday.
They might actually have an advantage in that area in which we've seen the disadvantage for so many games, seasons, the entirety really of Caleb Williams' rookie season. I love Mark being honest about Russell Wilson coming in, because I was with you for a moment, because I remember what happened when the Giants played the Cowboys and he put up 1,000 yards or whatever it was in that win over the Cowboys. But instead of the old Russ, we just got old Russ.
Yeah.
And that was
cold.
That was great. Because it was like, oh, as soon as I saw the way that next drive started, I was like, oh, they have a chance here because it's Caleb Williams' time. And also Ben Johnson is going to be able to recalibrate, if you will, and understand the situation has changed. Where maybe he had a lot of energy dedicated to, hey, Dennis, y'all got something for this Jackson Dart kid? Because he's destroying us right now. And that changes what the priority is. Because if they can't stop Jackson Dart, it's not going
to
matter.
I'm not going to lie to you. Like, I saw the same throws that Jackson Dart was making. And I mentioned them. Like, I saw the sexy step up in the pocket, throw over guys, throw perfectly thrown balls over the middle of the field, even when there's tough coverage there. That is a metric that absolutely I am measuring quarterbacks on, especially the last, 3 years of the draft? Yeah. Can you make those throws? That's very important. At one point, I swear he looked like 7 feet tall running around out there. But when he went down, that was the chance. And we're talking about a Bears team that didn't squander that chance today.
I love the fact that Jackson Dart, as phenomenal as he looked and as dominant as he was, the Bears never stopped competing, because it seemed like there were a couple of times there where he broke them. On the touchdown run specifically, where he's going in untouched, unchecked. I was like, I just don't know if they have enough to stop him. And you know what? Frankly, they didn't have enough to stop him. If he was out there, I firmly believe the Giants would have won this game, and they probably would have won going away.
And the way the game started for the Bears defense, I thought, oh, they coming out inspired in this one, because they had on that first defensive drive, they had tackles for loss from Andrew Billings. They had a combo platter from Tremaine Edmonds and Noah Sewell. Ending with the Montez Sweat, and I think that was a half a sack because Sewell got part of that too. I was like, oh, the Bears are out here like wanting to be better, and then it went like so many things that look one way on the first drives offensively and defensively. Boy, does it change as the game goes on.
Yeah, well, and guess who provided a significant percentage of the pass rush yesterday? The people's guy, CeeDee Gardner Johnson.
Oh, yeah.
Shout out to Dennis Allen for making the call.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
If you want more than headlines this Bears season, listen to the Take the North podcast. I'm Mark Rohde, joined by Dan Wiederer. We bring you honest, unfiltered Bears talk 3 times a week, and we're not afraid to be critical when it's deserved, or certainly give credit when it is earned. With insider access and perspective that brings you inside the Bears locker room, Take the North is your home for Bears conversation that keeps it real. Listen to and follow Take the North wherever you get your pods.
It is the Spiegel and Holmes show, and boy, do we have a show for you. The Bears are 6-3. As you can imagine, that is all we are talking about today, except for maybe Victory Chicken, which is also connected to, you know, the Bears. So that's on the schedule. Everyone
Chicken's
is
nice and spicy, huh?
It's really good.
It's really good.
Alex is here. Tanny is here. That man is Matt Spiegel.
Caleb is a baller. I got to give it up, man. Dude's a baller when it counts. We will discuss. You got a read to do.
Well, not really. It's whenever, but I appreciate that.
You're holding it with intent.
You're listening to a Plumbers 911 Football Monday presented by Busey Bank and Great Clips. Thanks, Great Clips and Busey Bank.
Thank you to all of those people. And thank you to Tanny for the Victory Chicken. Just an exquisite experience.
Alex, please send me all air checks or eat my chicken. T.Y.
I mean, just like top notch.
No problem.
Top notch.
20 a piece of the different flavor.
Yeah.
I'm a flats guy, so that was great for me.
The flats were really good.
Yeah, I went in there and got myself some of the mild. I thought the mild sauce was really good.
As we've been talking about, the esprit de corps around these parts, when it comes to chicken, has never been at a higher level. Everybody's sharing responsibility. Nobody cares. Everybody's blocking as well as making their catches. No block, no rock.
I mean, we care. We'd love to have that be sponsored. Would be great.
But nobody cares who the star is of a given week.
No.
Of Victory Chicken.
No. Sometimes it's... What was the name of the place? Was it Crisp? Roost. Sometimes it's Roost.
That was Alex's week.
Sometimes it's Popeyes.
Yeah.
And we're not mad.
No.
It's Popeyes. Uh-huh. Sometimes it's homemade, like Chris Tannehill. Sometimes you get a bucket from Harold's.
Yeah, you do it. You do what you got to do.
You know what is funny? I will share this. Mitch was like, hey, should we do like a spinning bucket at some point for Victory Chicken? And then we started looking. We couldn't find a KFC close enough to make it worth our while.
There's the combo at like Irving and California. Is that the closest one?
Yeah, there were some that were like, how close is a KFC? So we get ourselves a spinner. Man. Maybe off of like Lawrence and Broadway.
That would
be pretty easy to do, I guess.
Yeah.
I could just do a lap and then come back around and bring it spinning.
we will sort it out as needed.
Do any KFCs still even have the spinning bucket as their logo?
I don't know. I don't think so anymore.
That's too bad.
They've combined. But man, I
buckets?
You got to give it up, Trent Dilfer, for Caleb Williams, who, of course, has his flaws. He's a raw young quarterback learning his way in the world. But my God, that dude is clutch. And when it's time to ball out late, he balls out. And he was so damn good on those last two drives. He has one patience from me, and I'm sure from lots of others. It's like, he deserves our patience as he grows, because that dude can make some unbelievable plays and plays his ass off when it matters and is clearly getting better and getting rid of the ball more often. There's still issues, but damn it, if he ain't a baller when it counts and makes you want to ride with him a little bit longer, for sure.
And the crazy thing is that I actually thought that he played well inside of structure yesterday, but wasn't helped out. Like, he made some of the throws, and then there were the off-time, off-platform throws that he made. The one that was dropped reminded me, it's not a perfect comp, because that play that Patrick Mahomes made in the Super Bowl is still etched in my mind as one of the greatest throws that was never caught. But it's similar when Caleb's able to hit someone right in the numbers or in the hands or in the helmet with a throw that he's making while on a dead sprint. And the fact that a bunch of those didn't get caught yesterday was frustrating.
Yeah, it was. It was. And the drops are a big issue, and we'll have all week to talk about it. But, man, feels damn good to be 6-3, to be sitting here right now with a chance at playoffs, and I just want to bask in it. And sometimes, like, I find myself thinking about what could have been. Like, could have won that Vikings game. Hey, could have won that Ravens game.
I mean, could have lost yesterday,
too. Yeah, it's true. It's true. So there are all sorts of could have beens, but no, shut up and bask. Shut up and bask today and just let yourself feel it at 6-3.
I mean, we'll talk about it. We have it slated to talk about a little bit later on in the show.
No, just shut up and bask today.
But the thing that always kind of gets me is if your team is winning, why do you want to live in the space of, well, they haven't beat anybody, or, well, you know, they could have, yeah, they absolutely could have lost yesterday. They didn't. And as we've said about Caleb from the beginning of the season, and even going back into last year, you have someone that has a talent that not many quarterbacks have. The ability to come back late, to slow the heartbeat down, to be in a position where, yes, the team is down, but he's still out there making plays, and there is a level of comfort that Caleb has with that. That's special on its own. And you're hoping that whatever gap is between him and whoever you think is more elite than him or better than him, that is made up for with the hard work that he puts in on the designs that Ben Johnson creates.
Their relationship is happening. Listen to Ben Johnson talking about Caleb after the game and him being locked in all week and all game day.
I don't notice anything different about him. I think he's been locked in probably this week in particular was probably his best week of preparation, just as a whole, you know, from start to finish. And so I feel like he was locked in from the moment I saw him this morning up until that last drive. And so I think he's doing a good job with all that.
That speaks to your point about him being good in structure for the most part yesterday, and then him being clutch at the end. And here's Caleb about his heartbeat at the end of games.
You told us before the bye week, after that Raiders win, that when you get into a minute mode, your heart rate drops and get calm. Have you ever actually tracked what your heart rate is in those moments?
I haven't. I don't actually know how to track it. Or not.
More of a feeling.
Yeah, I can feel my body just kind of settle down. And you know, I think that's important for me when I'm out there in those moments, but also the calmness, demeanor of when I'm in the huddle, looking at those guys in the eyes, and, you know, the belief, the faith, like I say, living in the known in those moments, it provides a certain level of confidence for us to be able to go out there and deliver.
That's clutch. It's the absence of choke at the very least, isn't it?
Here's the thing. We're talking about that in the abstract, but I actually believe the Bears do have that data on it. If you've ever watched, whether it's soccer or football, guys will usually wear something that kind of looks like a sports bra, and it's called a catapult. And usually players wear it so that the training staff can measure hey, is this guy low on electrolytes, or is this guy, is he playing inside of his norm? So I bet that they actually do have that data on what Caleb is like in those moments.
It's probably one of those times, if it doesn't match up with what he thinks, you don't want to tell him.
Right. I agree with you wholeheartedly.
Hey, no, actually, Caleb, your heart gets appreciably faster.
But
don't
that,
tell him that.
Like, that's a big part of sports right now, is measuring all of that stuff so that you know what to do and what to get for a player.
Mm-hmm.
They had it for Patrick Mahomes during the divisional round where they came back and beat the Bills a few years back, and it found that Patrick Mahomes' heart rate was the highest when he was on the sideline watching the Bills move down the field.
That makes total sense. it's what Jamison Tyone said before he pitched.
Totally.
It was at game five.
I think it was game three.
Game three against the Padres. He said, I want to help, and it's frustrating to be here and not be on the mound.
Right, exactly. When you don't have control, it's when you actually have control that you can settle down. It'd be great if the Bears didn't get themselves into situations like this.
It would be.
Week after week after week, which led to Ben Johnson feeling like he was on repeat. And he said so to the team after the game.
Hell yeah! Man, I tell you what, I feel like I'm on repeat each and every week right now. I mean, I got nothing new to say to you guys. Did you even waiver for a second?
Hell no.
You knew exactly we had him right where we wanted him. Gosh, man. Goodness gracious. Hell of a job. Took all 60 minutes. Golly, and you felt it, man. Shank punt. You capitalized. Awesome. Awesome. Hey, let me say, I got two game balls here. Two game balls. New addition came in 2 weeks ago.
Okay. Yeah.
Let me tell you something. You made some plays now. DJ, come on, big dog. And if you don't believe it now, you just wait, man. The best is yet to come, 18. Here we go. Bring it on in, gentlemen.
Come on.
Good, better, best.
Good, better, best.
Never let it rest.
Never let it rest.
Good gets better.
Until the good is better.
The better gets better.
And the better's best.
Bears on three. 1, 2, 3. Bears!
Oh, Billy Williams from his Hall of Fame speech in 1987. Forever bonded with Ben Johnson in 2025.
Who we believe but cannot prove had this before Ben's dad had it.
Yeah.
And we think that maybe Ben's dad got it from someone who knew
right.
Billy Williams or his high school principal.
Right, we don't know for sure. But if this isn't St. Jerome, you're stealing my bit.
That's right. So we're going to just go with that and roll with that as a theory until we are disproven or proven correct.
Either way, man, 6-3 is pretty damn fun. And this division, you got opportunities the next few weeks.
You sure do.
And they will present themselves in the coming weeks to step up and take this division.
Winning buys you time and hopefully builds confidence. And hopefully that's what happens as you walk into Minneapolis this week.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
If you want more than headlines this Bears season, listen to the Take the North podcast. I'm Mark Rohde, joined by Dan Wiederer. We bring you honest, unfiltered Bears talk 3 times a week, and we're not afraid to be critical when it's deserved or certainly give credit when it is earned. With insider access and perspective that brings you inside the Bears locker room, Take the North is your home for Bears conversation that keeps it real. Listen to and follow Take the North wherever you get your pods.